We turn now to another economic issue that's touching many Americans, layoffs. Each week, thousands of workers who thought their jobs were secure are getting pink slips. But what should you do when one of those being laid off is a friend? What do you say? How do you help? That's the topic of today's Culture Coach, our periodic series where we turn to an expert to help us through some of life's sticky issues. Recently, Michelle Martin talked with Valerie Burton. She's the author of a number of books on personal finance, time management, and other workplace issues. Ms. Burton explained how it can feel when a colleague gets laid off.
I think that people, one, they feel a lot of empathy. They feel badly. I think that people deal with issues of guilt, of, you know, I've gotten to keep my job. There's a bit of relief that they've kept their job, but also a bit of guilt that their friend has lost their job. So I think there's a natural inclination to want to reach out, but sometimes it can be a bit uncomfortable because a person might not know exactly what to say.
That's going to be my next question. There are some workplaces that who have instituted this hideous habit of making people leave the same day and things of that sort.
Yeah.
And some don't, where people are still about, you know, tying up loose ends. Do you recommend that you reach out to someone who has been asked to leave abruptly?
If it's a friend, someone you actually have a relationship with besides work, it's really important, I think, to do that fairly quickly because the person is just in a state of shock in that first day. If it's just a coworker, it's not someone that you've really had a lot of other communication with outside of work, it can create some other issues that might not be so good.
Really? Like what?
Well, you know, I think sometimes you've got people who are frustrated once they get laid off. They may be looking to try to get more information or do something against the company. So I think it's very important that you be careful if it's someone that you don't already have a relationship with. But I certainly think sending a note, sending an email if you know their personal email address, leaving a voicemail, just a bit of, you know, I'm sorry.
Saying what?
I would say, you know, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. And if you need, you know, someone to listen, if you need a listening ear, I'm here to listen. For some people, they might be comfortable saying, you know, I'll be praying for you. If you know of opportunities with other companies, I mean, if you have some inside knowledge of somewhere that they might apply, being willing to share that information can be another way to be supportive.
We've talked a little bit about the fact that sometimes when you are the person who's left standing, you can have your own feelings. Guilt might be one. Anxiety might be another. You might be concerned about how the workload is going to
Absolutely.
Be redistributed. And how would you recommend a person handle that responsibly, a concerns about workload?
Number one, you're probably going to be facing a bigger workload. They've got to spread the work out somehow. And particularly if it's a company where the workload hasn't necessarily let up, you are going to be one of those people that picks up. So I think it's very important to accept where you are right now. Accept that the workload is going to be higher. Choose to be positive. Sometimes that will be harder than others, but making a choice to be positive, making a choice to say, well, maybe this is an opportunity for me to pick up some new skills that I had not picked up. And that might be helpful in the current company, or if you end up being laid off or moving on, those skills might be helpful in you finding another job.
What if you truly do find the redistributed workload unreasonable? Even if you recognize all the exigencies, you
yeah.
recognize that maybe you don't take it personally. Maybe you think, you know, I understand tough times out here. I mean, I don't understand how anybody could be engaged in the news and not understand that circumstances are difficult. But if you just say, look, the expectations you have of me, I just can't meet them. Needless to say, individuals probably are reluctant to say that in times when mm-hmm. everyone feels vulnerable. What if you really honestly believe that you can't meet what's been laid out for you? What do you do?
Well, I think, one, you've got to take good care of yourself and realize that stress is real and it can create health problems. So you want to make sure you're managing that. And so I think it's important to talk with whoever your manager is or your boss about what those expectations are. And it might mean that you're communicating more often, that you're saying things like, okay, I've got these three things. I've been told all three are priorities. This is what I can get done today. Is this the order you want me to do it in? So you're putting it back on them because you're only human and your boss probably recognizes that too. There's a good chance that their workload has also been increased. So it's going to force that person to be a little more specific about what the true priorities are. I also think it's important to become a better self-manager. You know, some people are more organized than others, and this is one of those times where it's really important to become more productive personally This is, I think, important for financial security and job security. So if you find yourself scattered and you've always been that way, this is a time for you to get a hold of that and to learn to manage your time a bit better.
This may seem silly, but you talked about self-care. Part of self-care for some people is venting.
Yes.
What is it? Is it still okay to vent about your job when you still have one if friends or colleagues don't? Well, I mean, I would assume good manners would apply that you shouldn't complain to somebody who's just lost a job that
person.
He or she loves. But
yeah, venting to the one that doesn't have a job, you're probably not going to get any sympathy there. But I think that if you can limit your venting to one person, maybe there's another coworker that's dealing with things and you become like venting partners, but you keep that something that's private between the two of you and confidential. You also want to keep in mind that a spouse might be having some of the same issues and you don't want that to overwhelm your conversation at home. So it's always nice to have somebody outside of home to talk to. Not that you won't ever talk to your spouse, but you could get into a situation where that's all you talk about when you get home is the frustrations at work. And that will negatively impact your marriage and your home life. And those are two of the things that are most important for dealing with the stress. You want a sanctuary to come home to and not have to be thinking about all the stress that's going on at work.
Valley, from your time as a life coach, I'm sure you've counseled people through many crises, both personal and professional. What are some of the common things that tend to yield the best results in dealing with a stressful situation like this? When you're not the primary person who's suffering the stress, oftentimes, yeah. I think maybe sometimes people feel a little reluctant to ask for help when they're not the person who's immediately suffering because they feel, yeah. Oh, it's not, you know, my concerns pale in contrast to this other person. So are there some themes that you've gleaned over the years?
Absolutely. I think the most important theme is to allow yourself to be human. And I think that a lot of times when we see others perhaps suffering more or having to put up more sacrifices, we feel like we don't have a right to have the feelings that we have. So I think it's really important to process your feelings. You know, if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling anxious, to actually process those feelings. But at some point, making a decision about what your game plan is. The theme I've seen most from clients I've had who've been laid off or been in these situations is that, one, you do eventually adapt. But I have also found that those who lose their jobs eventually realize I'm going to be okay too. They may have to make some lifestyle adjustments at first. But I have found more often than not that people say this was a blessing in disguise. I know that sounds really crazy to even say, but very often people were in jobs that they weren't happy with anyway, or perhaps there was something that was going to happen in the future where it just wasn't going to be a good match, and they end up in a place that's a much better place. It doesn't feel like that when it first happens, but a big part, and I think one of the biggest lessons that I've seen with many of my clients as well as myself, is that you really have to trust the process.
Valerie Burton is a life coach and the author of several books. Her latest is How Did I Get So Busy? The 28-Day Plan to Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Schedule, and Reconnect with What Matters Most. She was kind enough to join us here in our studios in Washington. Thanks, Valerie.
Thanks, Michelle.